This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Nath Valvo.
Hi, Catherine Devney here.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard.
Hey guys, this is Matt Mitchum.
I'm Jason Ball.
This is Joy Wallison.
Like, I learned more things from Hide and Seek, for God's sakes. School didn't provide it.
Not something that I listen to on a regular basis.
You certainly want something a bit more reliable, and whether Hide and Seek is the first place you should start.
Oh, wonderful.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, and we have a rather interesting discussion ahead of us. Naked theatre is always something that we love to talk about on Hide and Seek.
And where does it say naked theatre? I'm reading the...
Well, I've been briefed.
Ah, okay.
Right? I know it doesn't say it on the PR stuff, which I don't think is helping their tickets, buns
no,
on seats, right?
It needs to be in big, bold letters.
It needs to be. This is nude, or bits of it anyway. Whelping Box is on at the Arts House Meat Market, and joining us are two of the co-creators, Matt Prest and Lee Wilson. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Hide and Seek.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, thanks very much for having us here.
How did you decide to take on board a pretty physical show in the round? It's in a 9x9 type space with the audience all around you, and then want to take your gear off and are you beating the hell out of each other? What are you doing in this?
No, come on. I guess it started out, you know, with some, you know, we were looking at a way for how we could create a really immersive experience for the audience. You know, we're really interested in impact, and, you know, we're really interested in how films can have such an amazing immersive experience for you when you've got speakers behind you and all around you. And so we've built a box around the audience, which is like a catwalk in a way. And
they're on the inside.
They're
of the
on
box?
The inside. Yeah. And they're just one row in a square facing in.
Gotcha.
So it's very intimate in that way because it's just us in the middle and it's them. And we run around the audience behind them as well and perform there. And there are mics inside that box, which every sound that we make gets amplified. And so it really helps to create this immersive experience.
So it's surround sound, hi-fi, extraordinary.
But also completely low-tech as well. It's like just, essentially it's just two guys doing stuff with each other for an hour. There's no like story. There's no narrative. There's barely character. It's just, very playful kind. I guess that's what got us to taking our clothes off at one point in the show. It really came out of... a sense of play. I mean, we aren't
dancing. And de-civilizing as well.
Yeah.
Trying to sort of like shed normality and the kind of like straitjacket of life in you know, it's so
exactly.
boring. And you know, one way that people do a lot of different things to sort of like mythologize their lives, you know, whether it's, you know, dressing up or going to parties or whatever. That's all different ways of creating a mythology.
And ritualising things too.
Yeah. And, you know, and it, taking it more extreme, like skydiving or something like that. But we kind of tried to find our own cheap thrills.
and we're all looking for our own cheap thrills.
Yeah, and it's a kind of like, you know, we try to push each other. It's not a competition, but we push each other to sort of like, in terms of what we can endure and things like that. But it sounds like confrontational for the audience, but we try to create a completely voyeuristic experience for the audience. We don't confront the audience. We don't even look at the audience.
But
so it allows them to fully, you know, watch us and not and feel comfortable with that. And that's the rules that we set up, where you're watching us, we don't even know you're there. But also, because they're all facing in, they watch each other. And it's a very sensorial experience because it's very heightened. You know, they're watching each other and they're watching us and everything becomes about the senses, you know.
And they're very aware of being watched when they're watching us. So, if, for instance, when we do run around with nothing on and there's... bits and pieces flying everywhere in people's faces, then you're kind of quite aware of where you're looking because you're aware that other people are looking at how you're dealing with having someone's bum in your face kind of thing.
So there's a voyeurism in watching what the performers are doing, but there's a voyeurism in watching the other voyeurs.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Oh, this is a head fuck.
The piece is a bit of a head fuck, actually. Yeah. Like, it's got a lot of things that trigger certain kinds of memories and feelings in people, you know, because the piece goes through a lot of different kinds of phases. It, you know, goes from, so like us kind of becoming, you know, more like dogs in a dog fight, and then we kind of evolve to more like animals that are experiencing the world.
Almost, at one point, it's almost like children, like boys playing. And actually, it's something that I use to describe it more and more, is that it's got that quality that young kids, especially boys, have when they're playing with each other, where it's really physical, and it can be really fun and playful, but within a flash of an eye, it can get really kind of violent and brutal.
It can get nasty,
then can switch straight back to being fun again. Yeah.
So, Matt, how did you get involved in this, and how did you feel getting your gear off first time?
Oh, I have no problem getting my gear off. My background's in performance art, so
he's a professional nudist.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Basically.
But how did you get to know Lee and then get involved?
That's a good question. We've known each other for quite a long time, maybe 10 years now. I met Lee doing a big community theatre project in Western Sydney, I think, and we know each other quite well. Our families know each other well. I think he proposed doing something together when we went camping. Like, we both got young boys, and he wanted just to do something with me.
Sure.
And likewise, and
we'd worked together, and we sort of had a really good connection.
Yeah,
and the connection still carries on. You know, like there is that kind of relationship where. We kind of constantly sort of joke and have fun in a quite, you know, it's just a nice
is it a
way
macho guy thing, or is it a playful boyish thing, or
the way we are or the way the show is?
Well I guess both.
It's, you know, it's hard for me to be objective about the show, because from my point of view, like, people talk about masculinity in the show and things, but I don't feel like it's something we're particularly interested in. We haven't set out to explore masculinity. We've set out to create an experience for the audience.
And ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, experience that we go through. And definitely doing the show in Sydney, it was like, you talked about ritual. It's like, to me, the show is a bit of a strange ritual that we've created for ourselves that we can go through. And by the end, we feel like we've been through something, but it's also something we repeat. We do it.
Like, I mean, strangely, we kept saying to ourselves when we were developing the material, like, this is about what we want to do, not what we want to show the audience. We kept bringing it back to, what do we want to experience? Because it's very important in this piece. It's so intimate that everything that happens, we're really experiencing what's happening in the moment. We're not trying to tell the audience something or show them something.
So is it choreographed to the nth degree, or does it change every night?
It's very tightly choreographed, actually. But at the same time, it's task orientated. So, for example, we do things until the point of endurance. I mean, till we kind of can't do it anymore. And then, okay, now we know it's time to move on. And that's kind of, things aren't timed in the piece. But strangely enough, it's always runs about the right, you know, the same time every time. But like, a scene will go until it needs to end.
But we do have a feel for how long it should be in terms of the overall structure of the piece.
But it's interesting. Yeah. It is really interesting to work in a way that goes off your internal clock, not a soundtrack that tells you now move on. It's like we just know, you know, that it's time to move on, or that we're getting to the end of our exhaustion. Or
you mentioned that there's sound, and I note that the sound designer must be a relative
of yours, right?
Jack Prest is the sound designer. The sound is you guys amplified, is it?
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
But okay. Also, we made a lot of recordings in the rehearsal of those sounds, which are also
played back
as well. But it's a little bit hard for the audience to distinguish the live
which
sounds and the recorded sounds.
Cool. Oh, okay.
And that kind of pumps it up. Yeah. And
but keeps it feeling organic, like it's part of the space. There's no kind of...
Do you take cues from the audio track then?
A little bit, yeah. But we kind of cue the track.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway. So... Back to the writing this, is there a written book for this performance?
No.
Or it's just an experience thing? Yeah,
yeah.
That's it, that you guys know intrinsically together.
Yeah. I mean, we created it by basically giving each other tasks. So and that's how we develop our work. It's like, okay, I think I kind of have a rough idea of what I want to get out of Matt. And then I say, hey, give me 5 different tasks of endurance where you're training me physically with endurance.
Mm.
And so he blindfolded me and made me run down a dirt track. And then every 5 minutes I'd say, snake! And I'd be, oh, fuck, you know? Like, I really did think there was a snake, you know?
And then have, like, rewards for, like, you know, like a dog kind of thing, have crushed up milk arrowroot biscuits
and by the way,
in a bum bag.
Can we have some fresh ones? Because they're really stale.
Like,
I keep forgetting to tell you.
Sure, sure. Yeah, arrowroot bickies feature like quite heavily in this show. Bicky dust gets spread across the audience. But yeah, it's sort of improvisation and task-based stuff to come up with material.
But also discussions, a lot of discussions where we keep trying to define our parameters. You know, like we decided, let's not represent anything. Let's make it really happen in the space. So there's a moment where we've both got these harnesses on and we're tied to sort of like a weight behind us, and then we run at each other, and at the very last second before we clash together, the rope pulls us back. And that just gets such a reaction from the audience because they really think we're going to smash ourselves together.
Dangerous.
And that's the kind of thing we want to get out of the audience, and a sort of a visceral reaction where it's like, fuck. You
and
know?
It's the kind of violence that's in the show in terms of us whacking each other over the head. We're not really doing that, but there's a lot of implied violence, and I think that's actually more powerful. Like, it makes people feel... they feel like it's violent, whereas if you depict violence on stage, it's very hard to do without it being kind of tacky.
Yeah.
But also, just on the generation thing, like how we made it, some stuff was just totally random too. Like Lee coming in with some sticky tape, going, I think we should try something with sticky tape wrapped between us. And then us just in a rehearsal room with 4 other people, 2 naked guys with sticky tape wrapped around their groins like harnesses, pulled, and then we're playing tug of war with this thing. And it's like... ridiculous, but also really interesting physical thing, and that's in the show, and that's hard to explain, that sort of stuff, where that comes from.
Matt Press and Lee Wilson are our guests. They're discussing their production Whelping Box, which is on at the meat market, no pun intended. Now, gentlemen, you said there's no narrative, and it's about the audience getting the experience. Are there, when you perform it, do some audiences react at different spots differently, I guess is the question.
Yeah, but you sort of start to get to know where the audience are going to laugh and so on like that. And there's some funny bits. But, I mean, one important thing that I've sort of come to realise is that whilst I think that Matt and I are very interested in critiquing certain things about the way we are and the way we behave... But at the same time, we didn't want to take an ironic distance because that, in a way, lets the audience off the hook so easily. You know, it's like, oh, we're just going to, you know, comment on this. But we actually want to embody this relationship. And
you want them to feel it, too.
Yeah, and we embody it so that we can critique it, you know, because I think that's stronger.
Do men react differently to women?
I think one of the best reactions we get consistently from men is that they feel like they want to be doing what we're doing.
That's
like,
cool.
Like people, a lot of the men that I know that have seen it have just expressed it. I guess it's a sort of envy, but just like they physically feel like this looks like fun.
Is it a bit like, I wish I had the guts to do that sort of thing?
I don't know if it's guts even. Uh-huh. I feel like it's even, like maybe it's a bit of that, but I think it's even just like this like feels like so much fun because it's so physical. Like, it's sort of a bit like sport, but it's also really flamboyant and playful, and that's probably the best reaction we've
gotten.
And
they identify with it.
It's made us think we should run maybe run workshops. Workshops where you get to like whack sticks on pillows. Yeah. Yeah, get in the harness and
well, they use that in anti-gay therapy, so I'm sure. I know.
I think they appropriated it. It's been around a lot longer than the anti-gay therapy.
The sticky tape tug of war, mate.
Might introduce.
You
that.
Know, there would be people in that workshop would have to face all sorts of personal issues to be able to get in the space to do what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I reckon it's got legs, that.
Yeah, it does.
That's true. And actually, that reminds me, like, I think...
First, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Vaseline is good.
Oh, okay.
No, but it makes the floor slippery. So.
It does. Allowed. Yeah.
No Vaseline allowed makes the floor slippery.
You've described this as being very, very physical, and it's an endurance test. How do you get through it every night?
It's pretty hard, actually. I mean, it's while the show's running, it's fantastic because you feel really high, and afterwards you're just like, you know, really, really, you know, just you do go to another level. You're a transcendence, you know. Mm. But I must say that when I wake up in the morning, it takes me a while to get moving because you know I'm you know getting on a bit.
So. You've only got a short season here in Melbourne. You said you'd been you've done it in Sydney for a while.
Yeah, we did a 2-week season in Sydney last November.
Did they get it?
Well, Melbourne audiences were way better.
No,
yeah. The audiences there were great. They react differently. I mean, some audiences find it really funny. Like, and I don't know if that's because we're being more playful or what, but. Sometimes there's laughter all the way through, and other times you can feel people are a bit scared, and they're looking for the places they can laugh, and they usually loosen up by the end. But no, Sydney really got into it, I thought.
I still get people coming up and saying, oh, that show that I saw, you know, last year was just one of the best things I've ever seen, or I've never seen anything like it, and, you know, that's really great when that happens.
The Whelping Box explores how mythologies strengthen and make us powerful in a complex world, fragmented by religion, moral codes, and questionable ethics. These guys pursue the concept in two directions. Firstly, as aspirational, seeking a higher form, that of a god or a hero. And secondly, as a degenerative, regressing to the animal or our very base desires. Fearless, it's been described as too. Yeah, I reckon you'd have to be with sticky tape, wouldn't you? It's on through to Sunday, the 8th of September. So if you want to go and see it, check it out at the Arts House, and artshouse.com.au has more information. Gentlemen, it's been great to meet you both.
Thanks,
Matt
guys.
And Lee, good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.